This is episode 23 for June 21st, 2006. Hey, is this thing on? My name is Dan Charette. Welcome to the podcast. I'd like to start off this episode by saying, hello, summer. We've been suffering from summer for about a month now here in Arizona, but it's just officially getting started in the rest of the world. And to those of you on the other side of the planet, welcome to winter. Anyways, I just wanted to say it's another fun-filled episode of Is This Thing On? More chatting about various and sundry things. But before we get started with all the fun chatting, I wanted to introduce a song by an artist who is making her second album, some of her songs, available to the public for download from her website. Her name is Ethereal Vox, and her new album is called Albatross. It's sort of a techno-type sound, and the two songs that she asked me to play, which are really great songs, by the way, are called Persephone and This Is Rome. So I wanted to start off by playing Persephone, and Michelle and I will be right back.
Thank you.
So, what did you think about that song?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked the melody of it. I liked the her voice. It was very smooth.
I love her voice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Very soothing, but darker. It was nice.
So that was Ethereal Vox from her album Albatross. And the song was called Persephone. And at the end of the podcast, I'll play her other song, which is called This Is Rome. You can find out more about her at her MySpace page, which is myspace.com/etherealvox. One word. So she sent me an email. I wanted to know if I would play her tunes. I said, absolutely.
I think it's really cool how you're getting emails from people that just peruse around websites and blogs and podcasts and stuff and say, hey, yeah, I hear you play some music.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. People just come popping out of the woodwork.
Yeah. And old friends are popping up out of the internet, too.
Mm-hmm.
Heard from an old friend of mine from the sixth grade, Mark Serrar. So that was kind of cool. So why don't we talk about what we did last week? We went over to Carl's, finally, and recorded part of chapter one, episode one of Lilith's Love with Carl. Basically recorded my parts with his parts because he was really tired, so we couldn't record the whole chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be recording the narrator parts and Donovan's part, and Carl recorded Christian's part. So I'll mix all that together. But then after we did that recording, Michelle sat Carl and I down and sort of asked us questions.
A preempt to interview.
Yeah, kind of.
It's kind of nice to see the interviewer being interviewed for once.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. So what I've decided to do is, along with the podcast for Lilith's Love, the book, in that same podcast, what I want to do is have sort of a metacast, which is where I would sort of do a podcast talking about the book and talking with friends. People are helping me with it. So the first episode of that will be me chatting with Carl and Michelle asking us all kinds of questions about when I wrote the book and how he'd helped in the past and who characters are based on. And hopefully in the future we'll have some interviews with Ed.
The mysterious Ed.
The mysterious Ed.
I'm not sure
which voices he's going to portray, but he's our connection to the wonderful music that we're going to have in the podcast, which is from a band that unfortunately is no longer together, called The Narrow Way. He was their manager. He owns the copyrights to the music. He's kind enough to let us use it. So we'll be using primarily the song Deranged. That'll essentially be the theme music for the book. But then I may pick other parts of other songs as bridges between chapters and background music and stuff. So,
you know what would be really interesting to bring up was something we were talking about before about you really believe that the book should be separate versus the talking about the book.
Right.
And I find that interesting because I really make it a point not to listen to books because every time I get into your car, I kind of jump in a portion through the way, and I'm really not into that.
Well, right.
But I like the idea of you getting into two different parts. Like, that's what you talk about the book, and that is the book.
Right. Well, I've been listening to a lot of audio books lately and have recently finished some, and one of my favorites, I just finished Mark Jeffries' The Pocket and the Pendant, which was an excellent book. I would love to interview Mark Jeffrey. I certainly intend to write a review of the book. I'm actually going to buy a hardbound copy of the book because I want the kids to read it. It's a great young adult book, I guess is what it's classified as. But I really liked the way he did his book, which was just him reading. But when he was doing the podcast for the book, it's just the book. Whereas other authors I've listened to, specifically Scott Sigler, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Infection, he has a sort of a trademark where he introduces the chapters that's coming up, not only like previously on Earthcore and a couple little samples and then jumps into it, but he also does like a 5 to 10 minute thing before the chapter he reads where he's talking about what's going on with him, what's going on with the book, and how people are sending him emails and everything, and that's great. The thing is, though, I wish that was separate. I would love to hear Scott Sigler talk about what's going on with him and talking about the book and and everything like that, but I wish that was separate from the book, because when I jump into a chapter, I want to jump right into it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the lead-in. That's cool. Another example of that is Mer Lafferty's Geek Fu Action Grip.
Who we love.
We love. I love Mer Lafferty. Hell, I'd love to interview Mer Lafferty. I'd love to interview everybody.
That would be great. It would really, really be great.
But she's had Geek Fu Action Grip for a very long time, and in just the last few weeks, or maybe a couple months now, she's had a serialized story called Heaven, mm-hmm. which is a great story. I wish she'd separated out Heaven into its own podcast. And I know she is intending to put that up on Podio Books once she has like a season's worth of that. It's going to go up on Podio Books. But, I mean, I love Geek Fu Action Grip. I love Heaven. What I kind of get frustrated by, I don't want to say I don't like it, because mm-hmm. every author is different. But it is frustrating that I've got to listen to Geek Fu Action Grip and listen to her talk, and that's cool, and she's going to talk about things. And then she jumps right into reading Heaven. I wish there was a split. So when I do the Littlest Love podcast, I want there to be a split. You'll have one episode that is a chapter, then another episode that is talking about it, maybe even bloopers,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff like that.
There'll be plenty of those.
That was something I thought was cool about Spherical Tomy by Jack Mangan. He's another one who would do a bit of an intro and talk a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But his intros were really leading up to a lot of what was going on in the previous chapters and what was going to happen in this chapter. And then he would read it. But he had a couple of episodes that were just like blooper reels, and they were kind of funny to listen to. So that was cool. And then Mark Jeffrey, at the end of Pocket and the Pendant,
mm-hmm.
had a segment where he read listener emails.
Mm.
And answered cool. questions. So I would like to do something like that, too.
Yeah, but we may not get any emails.
We don't get any emails for this.
So. They keep saying that they're listening, but we don't believe them because we don't get anything.
We don't get any emails, but it is cool to see, though. Like, we'll mention, like, verbivorous.com, and I got, like, a handful of people showed up. Dara showed up. Heidi showed up. So we know at least they're...
Die Hard.
We know they're listening. Yeah.
Guys, just send us something and say, hi, we are living and breathing. We have heard you.
We have a
phone
number.
We're calling you out.
Yeah, we're calling you out, man. Come out. Come out. Wherever you are.
Blah.
Blah.
Can we jump from that
sure.
and jump right into the Mardi Gras thing?
Sure.
Man, that place was awesome.
Yes, yeah, so thanks to a tip from another one of our listeners, Brianne, a.k.a. Cayman.
From Vampire Rave. Yes, we have no other homes. That's our home.
That is our home. She'd been, you know, she's heard about the ball, and she's excited, as we are, of course. She happened to point out a couple of websites for costume places, mask makers, and
mm-hmm.
such, and one of the costume places happens to be here in town, a couple miles up the road from us. So we checked it out today. It's called Mardi Gras Costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice store. It's open year-round. All kinds of cool stuff. Let Michelle talk about it.
Am I that obviously twitching about it?
I want to talk about it. Give me the damn mic.
What I love was that they actually took the building that looked like a former bank.
Yeah, it looks like it was a bank.
And they turned and they put all these funky Halloween skeleton Mardi Gras things in the windows. It's like, that's not a bank.
Not anymore.
It was really, really cool. The display cabinet, the first thing you see when you come in are the really, really expensive masks, of course.
Right.
And I caught one to die for. That's the only word. I have a very, very high quality meter when it comes to funky stuff like that. And they wanted, they were asking for $295 for... Remember the one that was all glittery, purple blue glitter?
Yes.
With the little swirly thingy sticking
right.
out of it, like antennae. It was awesome. $295.
That's $295.
US
playing at
US
home.
Dollars,
yes.
yes. But when you pop over to the regular masks, they had the you know, the really cheap mask that you find for like $1.99 at Michael's or something. Wonderful for like make your own products and stuff like that.
Right.
But They had one totally formed to your face, felt great, elastic, nice and gentle, $3.95, and you got glitter on it. Come on, that just rocks right there, because if the glitter doesn't just fall off and stick in your eyeball and then you're blinded for a half hour or anything, but I think of these things.
Yeah.
But it was just absolutely incredible, and Dan was actually taking off his eyeglasses, trying on masks, and we realized once again that we're going to have to paper mache something form fitting so he can wear his glasses over it.
Or something. I mean, I'm not going to be able to go to the ball with a mask on without my glasses. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I cannot function.
Yeah, some people can't wear contacts, and he and I are one of those people, because I can't put eye drops in my eyes, because that's just a physical impossibility. Mm. And my beloved, his eyes are just too...
sensitive.
He's sensitive, yes.
I'm a very sensitive guy.
Yes, and I love you.
I mean, I suppose if I got a small enough mask, I could put my glasses on over it. Mm-hmm. I just think it looks geeky. I don't know what to do. Maybe I'll just put makeup on. I have no idea.
You know, I could probably paint something over you.
Right.
And it would be... And in exchange, you could probably paint something over my boobs. And I can go as, like, Body Mystique, paint. You know?
Ooh.
You know, totally just... patched over.
Blue, baby.
Yeah. You're pretty. She was so pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we're thinking about doing, and for everyone that's listening that may, quote, may go to the ball, since the party is in Phoenix and the Mardi Gras place is in Scottsdale,
mm-hmm.
we're toying with the idea of, on our website, of course we have to speak with these people first, and they already knew we were wackos, and they're like, oh god, those people again. Yeah, we left one of those wonderful impressions, once again. 10 minutes before closing time and two nuts come in, that's us. But we're toying with the idea of putting like some kind of link onto it, and if you purchase the tickets, yada yada yada, you'll be able to get a coupon, a discount of some kind, to go to the mask place and place your order there.
Right.
So that would really be
Yeah, we'd like to work out some kind of deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be cool if we could get them to be a vendor at the event, too.
Or they a sponsor could sell. Would be wonderful.
Well,
I know.
Sponsor's going to be tough. But a vendor at the ball would be cool, and then they could sell
masks
to the last minute, you know,
mm-hmm.
people. That some costumes, hats, masks, that kind of thing. That would be very cool.
It's better than some of the other ideas we've had. So it's, I like this idea better. I did find one. I'm not going to reveal what door prizes are or anything, but
that was cool.
We found one thing in the display cabinet, and wow. Mm-hmm. Just freaking wow. Unisex, both men, women, and both can use it, and... wow.
That just sounds rude.
Maybe
I just got my
No. I think it's totally unisex. It's very, very cool. I absolutely just went, wow.
Yeah,
it's
a very cool,
cool
store. So.
Mm-hmm. Lots of very neat stuff. So, and the prices are very reasonable, too. So.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, masks aren't cheap. But
mm-mm. Not the good ones, yeah.
And for Bree, if you're listening, they had only one mask by Vincent Orr
mm-hmm.
over at Mask Parade.
Oh, they pointed out to you?
Yes.
Which one was it?
I
was out drooling on the counters.
Well, I think they had like two or three of them, but mm-hmm. only one of them had his tag on it. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple other leather masks.
Mm-hmm.
There was a green one that's kind of frilly and it had like a rose up at the top of it.
Oh, I know that one. Yeah. That was the green one with the darker color. No, it was a purple one with a green rose, right?
Right. So
All right.
Those are very nice, but they weren't what I was familiar with or what I was looking for. So, you know, we'll see.
She's but, I mean, still snoring.
But we might also see if we can find, go to maskparade.com, which is mm-hmm. his website, and see what kind of other masks he has. And maybe just order them directly. But, you know, his masks are the art masks, like $90 masks.
Yeah.
But they did have a lot of the Venetian masquerade ball type masks.
What was the name again?
It was maskparade.com.
Okay. Thank you.
K, not Q-U-E.
Sorry.
I know, we're used to it now.
I know, it seems like
second Instead of going to masknocturne.com. That's M-A-S-Q-U-E-N-O-C-T-U-R-N-E. Nope, that's not
mask,
good either.
Mask, Michelle.
Make,
I'm not
make parade. No, there's no make parade.
I'm not doing very well for typing today.
That's the one.
Thank you. Finally. Huzzah! She has
there
a demo. Oh, that's creepy. I love that.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, they had a lot of Venetian and stuff like that, so there's no shortage of, I can't find it. No, no, no. You'll find anything you're looking for.
In every price range. If you go to the Mardi Gras costume place, you'd find what you're looking for.
Yeah, they had entire section room just for costumes. They had an entire section room just for, they don't even know what that other room was.
They had a special secret room.
They had big bunny costumes stuck away into a closet with the door shut. And like, Dan played, look, bunnies, no, stay away from the evil bunnies. Okay, there's my rant, done with that. We did do something very exciting today, and here's just something fun. We did go to Kelly's Paper Supply in Phoenix, and we finally got the stack of paper that we wanted, and we got another ink cartridge. Yay! It's really exciting, but no, wait, it's seriously exciting. Hold on here. We'll actually be able to print out the invitations, make the invitations, so when we get our state tax license, we can actually start selling said invitation. So yay, we're almost there in a snoring kind of way.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have some tickets and invitations ready by July 1st, but we are still legally have to wait for the state license to come in before we can start selling them online. So forgive us if July 1st comes around and we still can't sell them yet. We're still waiting for the license to come through.
Yeah, that was my bad. I sent it out like a month ago.
She sent it out, but she forgot to give them the check.
It's a pop in revenue. You figure they have enough money. You know, it's just one of those stupid little things. I said, oops.
It's a tax license. You should have known they wanted some money.
It's 12 freaking bucks, but
I know,
you know.
But they sent it back saying,
sorry.
You forgot something.
So if we're a little late in selling the tickets, that's my fault. See, this is why I was never a manager. There's good reasons for this. Yes, leave the shake Apache-ness. Yes. The world should figure it out, folks.
Oh, yeah, we'll figure
it'll
it out.
It'll take a few more years. Let's see. We went to see the Madonna concert.
Oh, you're just jumping right in there.
Oh, I'm just...
No segues.
Changing it right over.
Yeah, fuck the website.
I'm saving you.
We saw Madonna.
I'm saving you. I'm saving you here.
Yes, we saw Madonna at the Glendale Arena.
Yes, I didn't realize how tall the Glendale Arena was.
Well, neither did I, and I wasn't really all that happy about it either. But
how many different colors did I change when you pulled open the black curtain and we looked down?
Lots of different colors.
Yes, I turned into one of Dan's tie-dye shirts, I think, yes.
We both suffer from fear of heights / vertigo, so it was a very interesting experience.
Yes, but Dan's thing was he focused on me and he made me feel better, and since I hope you made yourself feel better too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to realize also, not only were we in the extreme nosebleed section, we were behind the stage. So we got the cheap seats, but they were the only seats that were available, and we wanted to go see Madonna. So we said, okay, we know that they're crappy seats, but it's Madonna, so there is no crappy seat. And where we
cheap
ended
ass.
Up,
yes,
right, where we ended up, we were actually behind one of the projection screens.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, so we got to see the opposite
side
of it. Yeah,
luckily there were see-through projection screens, so we were actually able to watch the concert in reverse.
But it was very cool, because if you look down, they're standing just the right angle, closer to you. You can actually clip them just before they go onto the regular part of the stage, and then they disappear.
Right, you could see down there if you wanted to look down.
No.
So I looked straight ahead.
We don't do down. No.
I looked straight ahead and saw the screen, and that's how I watched the concert.
No.
It was very cool.
We went from the 4th to the 6th floor, climbing up the stairs. We're already feeling like mountain goats or something. And remember, we have popcorn in tow, sodas in tow, we're climbing up the stairs. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great food. It was when I actually had the stomach to eat.
Right.
But we pulled open the curtain, And they right behind the very last chairs, they have this beautiful, long, tall bench. So this way, it's like a bar table. You could put your stuff on it.
Yeah, because for standing room only.
I hung on to that like the whole balcony was coming down. It was the most awful, awful sight. Terrible.
Right. So we had Dan's to go like, about midway.
Yeah. Come down on down. Balcony. We're fine. I'm like, hang on to the railing again, like we're climbing off of Mount St. Helens or Everest or something.
Right.
But I think I liked it better with the lights off. I think that's part of it. Because we got to really... She was 45 minutes late.
She was 45 minutes late.
Yeah.
Yes. But the show was still amazing once it finally started.
Yeah, but it stopped at the regular time, too.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it did.
No, it was after 10 o'clock.
I didn't care because I wasn't looking at the watch either. But, couldn't move my arms.
I think it's kind of cool because that 45 minutes gave us a chance to get used to being that
acclimated,
high.
Yeah.
It gave us a chance to get over our... Or it helped me anyway.
It was awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful. And I had said it before, I will not do that for any other artist, any other singer. I don't care. It's like Metallica doing old school Queen, you know, coming back. I don't care. It was Madonna. We're just lucky to be there. So it's like, okay, never mind. We've done it. Wonderful. I would pay more money to be
sit in better seats.
Down at least one level down. I'm okay with being mid or second, but not where we were. No. No. Madonna, we were lucky to get the ticket. So
yeah,
I'm not complaining, but I turned colors.
She changed colors like the giant disco ball.
Yes.
The show was awesome.
It was. It was wonderful. Did you have a favorite part or anything?
I thought the disco queen near the end was pretty cool. Mm. Where she had this cape, this big white cape, said disco queen on the back, but she opened it up and it was disco lights on the inside too.
It was really
cool. She danced
cool.
around a lot. And
then they roller skates. Regular four plastic wheeled roller skates,
yeah,
not the roller blades.
Not roller blades, roller skates. Yes. The dancers were roller skating around and... And then after she dropped the cape, or before the cape, because they put the cape on her afterwards, after one of the bits, they were dressed up like John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, yeah.
With the white jumpsuit.
And she made that look good.
Oh, damn sexy.
Oh, she made that look good.
Yeah.
Yes. Even from our distance. Yes.
Yes. Well, but even when we were watching the concert on the screen, she looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There was a time, just at the very beginning of the concert, maybe like two or three songs in, she sat down and she says, I have a request to the manager.
Oh, that was near the end.
No, it was middle. No.
Okay, mid to end.
Because she was...
It wasn't three songs in. It was maybe three songs from the end, before the Disco Queen thing.
Okay.
She sat
but it was
down.
Halfway, yeah, because she was surprised how sweaty she was, because she's normally, like, used to it, you know.
Well, yeah, all she's doing up there is singing and dancing and sweating her ass off. And so she said she wanted them to turn the air conditioning off.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said she was fucking cold. And she thought Arizona was supposed to be hot. She wasn't even breaking a sweat, is what she'd said. Yeah, so that was kind of freaky.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the elevation we were at, there was no problem with the temperature.
I didn't feel anything anyways. It didn't make a difference. But it was kind of funny. We had the coolest people sitting in front of us. We had the coolest... People say, oh, I hate people sitting in front. We had the coolest people. Because all these people, there was like five of them. Right?
Yeah.
About five. Okay.
Yeah. About our age.
Yeah. And they were standing up. Mind you, there's less than a... cover your foot. You know, it's like really, really narrow ledge.
Right.
And they're just holding their beers, and they're bebop, and they're dancing like they're on an entire dance floor, and they're just having a good old time. They're all dancing. And I looked at Dan and said, maybe I should have had a Guinness before I went there. He's like, maybe you're right. Beer is good. Yes.
Or you go to a concert, it must help you deal with your vertigo. I don't know.
Oh, definitely.
But
definitely.
I thought the whole show was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very glad I was able to see that. Very glad I was able to take you to see it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm very glad that we
survived.
We got out of there just in time because we were gauging the clock, which I still think that she ended at a reasonable time because we knew to look for the time on the clock, on our watch. And Dan's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, we need to get up there again where the tables were so we know when we can leave. And I caught her saying goodnight, everybody, in the middle of the song. I grabbed him by the collar, and he's like, why are you running? We got to the elevator. There's some people there. We got downstairs. There's some more people getting out. So we got it just right.
Yeah.
We really did. That's, like, the biggest thing about going to an event is getting out. That's the biggest thing. Getting in, get your chairs, and get the hell out when you're done. So it was good. It was really, really good. Food was stadium food.
It was stadium food,
but, you know, when you're up that... Oh, we were up that high. I was wondering if popcorn and pretzels bake and pop at a different rate because we were up way high. Oh, God. But that was good. And we have something planned for tomorrow on top of it. We have tickets to go to Big Surf tomorrow.
Yay, Big
from
Surf.
From my work. That's our summer thingy that we do.
And, welcome to the islands of Big Surf, man.
They do the food. They do bingo prizes, all this other cool stuff. And it's really neat, except in all honesty, I'm really not that excited this year.
Why not?
Because you saved my life twice last year, and I'm really not looking forward to getting into the water again. It's just me. It was devastatingly scary, and it got to a point that, like, okay, how do you know? Here's a question for you. How do you know you have too many people in the freaking water when you have to say, okay, that's enough, no one else can go in? You know, no, they don't do that, no. Because last year we had, let's see, a guy in a really big guy with a really, really big floaty thingy was in a incoming wave from the beach. Took one look at the guy, I'm holding on to Dan's hand, I had to go underneath because he rammed on top of me.
Yeah.
He ran over me, didn't give me a chance for anything. I felt his feet go by me. And next thing I felt was Dan going underneath the water, grabbing my arm, lifting me out of the water. Okay, wave number one. Like, some waves later, we're avoiding people from being onslaught of human body parts being rolled at you wave after wave. Yes, it was that bad. And I'm not a strong swimmer, because Daniel was kind enough to teach me as much as I know now, which I'm grateful for. But, there was another wave with a scrawny teenage young girl on a raft, and her head wound up hitting my head, or her chest wound up, her ribcage hit my head, or something like that, and I went under the water again. No one else did. I'm the only one who has this surface problem. And again, I felt the same thing, him reaching underneath, grabbing me, pulling me up out of the water. And by this time, I looked like a drowned rat. There's nothing sexy about me in the water after being drowned almost twice. No, not really. So, it got to a point that I'm really physically shaken and obviously not having a good time. Like, you know what? You go ahead. And this is the best thing we did out of the whole evening. You went, because he's a really, really strong swimmer. Go ahead. Get out of the beach area. Get into deeper water. I went to play in the baby slides, which wasn't a good choice. Wasn't a good choice. I did great. I was on those, you know, those really, really huge
tube slides?
Yeah, the stairwell to heaven, literally.
Right.
And I'm standing up there. We're watching the lightning storm roll in because someone decided to... I'm not saying this to bitch. It's just funny how this whole evening worked out. I'm on this huge platform thingy, like, 8 stories, 6 stories, 5 stories high, whatever it was. And we're watching lightning storms come in. And, we planned it right around monsoon season, which was kind of funny. But the first one I went down was the baby slide, had a great time. Yay! Got all the way back up there. I took the opposite slide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the deep, dark, scary one. So I learned a lesson. when you're sitting on your floaty and you're going through dark slides, don't close your freaking eyes.
No.
Yeah, I didn't know this. Because I went up underneath the water, not ready, not holding my breath, felt someone pull me out of the water. I'm thinking in my stupid state, Dan, no, it was the lifeguard. And just to make it even more embarrassing, she's waving her arms saying, stop, don't come down, don't come down. Like, oh my God, they shut down the whole freaking thing. Everyone's staring at me. I'm walking away doing the limp of shame, coughing. And I'm just like, you know what? I really had a great time. So I wound up sitting down in the little weave thingy with the baby. Literally little babies. And their moms going, oh, are you waiting for your husband? Yeah, sure, whatever. And Daniel comes out of the water. I kid you not. And this is for, like, all those romance novel readers or anything else. But you had the lightning storm behind him. And he's coming out of the water. He looked like freaking Adonis. Honest to God, Daniel looked absolutely striking. And that's the only word I can use. And it's like, he just looked absolutely incredible. Relaxed, calm, one with the water, one with the storm behind him, just absolutely took my breath away. Well, three times already, but I'm okay. So now we get to go again. Yay!
But now you've learned what to avoid, too.
Yes,
go down the
everything.
Slide that... Well, go down the one slide that was
But if
okay.
I don't remember which one it is, I'll ask.
Yeah.
Which one's the baby one? Which one's the dark one? Good, I'll take the baby one.
Right.
So that's just about, yeah.
And if you want
I could play bingo.
Well, I was just going to say, if you wanted to do the barbecue thing, do the socializing thing.
I could do that.
While I'm doing the swimming thing, because I don't know these people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the guest, but... You know, I practically grew up at Big Surf. That was one of the places I learned how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know, who've never been to Arizona, Big Surf is the closest thing we have to a beach,
mm-hmm.
beachfront property in Arizona. It's the world's first wave pool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where surfers used to train before going out to the oceans and stuff. It's got a long history, but... it's the place to go boogie boarding and swimming like you would at the mm-hmm. beach as opposed to in a swimming pool. So it's a wave pool, and so if you go out to the deeper end, you don't know when the waves are going to come. I mean, you could try and time it, but it's slightly random.
Yeah,
there's
boom.
A whoosh, and then the water swells.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't let you get... too far. There is a rope and lifeguards.
I saw you by the rope.
I was hanging out by the rope because mm-hmm. it is such a rush when that wave comes to, what am I going to do? Am I going to go over the wave or am I going to go under it? But that's the other secret to what I was enjoying the most about that is the deeper you go, the less people there are.
There yes,
are a couple
there
people
are.
With floats. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the really strong swimmers or mm-hmm. the ones who were familiar with it, they're the ones up there. Everybody else was further back.
Yeah.
They would catch the wave and they would ride it out or whatever. So I learned the secret was go out to the deeper end.
Mm-hmm.
You can't touch the bottom. You're floating there and you're going to go up or you're going to go down under the water. And that is a rush that I just don't know how to describe. It's not something I would recommend for Michelle or anybody who... doesn't like to be in water where you can't reach the bottom of the
pool. Well, it's just the body parts coming
right.
at me.
But like
first.
I said, you're not being attacked by people.
Yes, I know.
Riding
I know.
The waves. So mm-hmm. if you're further out there, you don't
it's
have that
safer,
problem.
But
it
deeper,
is safer,
but
deeper. Deeper. So mm-hmm. if you don't have a float or you're not a good swimmer, I wouldn't recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoyed it. So if I can do that while you're schmoozing...
I can do that.
That works for me.
I'm not guaranteeing it staying away from the cookies, though. Because they have very good cookies.
It's
so.
A barbecue and the cookies and lots of good stuff.
And so you just go ahead. You have some fun. You go out there and I'll just be hanging out with the baby crowd.
And it's earlier this year, too, so we should not have to worry about any storms.
No, we shouldn't. That's
There's
why
flooding
why
in Texas, but we're still dry and hot here.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, we are recording on the first day of summer.
Yes, happy solstice to everybody.
Happy midsummer.
Yes. to us, we've already had 2 months of summer.
Yeah.
Like, starting in April. So we only have, what, 4 more months to go of summer?
Until stuff starts falling off of trees.
Yeah, November. Yeah. That's usually when we get... Last year, the last day I went swimming was October 31st. That was the last day I went swimming, so that was awesome. That was awesome. But let's see, what other interesting things are we doing?
Well, turning to the news, I got a couple of things I wanted to talk about.
What? Show me.
First off, there's a tribute CD to Neil Gaiman coming out in July.
Really?
Yes, it looks like a bunch of... I want to say metal artists, because the only one I'm familiar with on here, of course, is Tori Amos. Everybody else, I don't know any of the... Well, Voltaire is on the album. Voltaire is on the album. Oh, the Crux Shadows are on there, too. Okay, I do know a couple of these bands.
Imagine that.
Okay, so it's kind of a goth tribute to Neil Gaiman. It's called Where's Neil When You Need Him? I think that's what it's called.
That's cute.
Yeah, so there's a track by Tori Amos, The Crux Shadows, Raised in Black, Hungry Lucy's on there. Oh, I'm definitely getting this. Okay, I know a few of these.
Hungry Lucy.
We've played them on the podcast a few times.
All right.
So I'm definitely getting that. That's coming out in July. I don't know an exact date, but as that date approaches, I will let everybody know. If you don't know who Neil Gaiman is, he is like one of my favorite authors out there. I highly recommend you look him up. Mm-hmm. That's Neil, G-A-I-M-A-N, Neil Gaiman.
It's very neat stuff.
Good stuff, great stuff. I highly recommend. I've read just about everything from him, from comics to books to movies. He's the brains behind Mirror Mask. So
yes.
If you saw that trippy little flick, you've seen his work. So another one of the stories I wanted to point out. This has been making the rounds in the news for a while now, but I wanted to point this out, too. There's a story going around about how some teenagers have taken this Teen Repeller sound file, this really high-pitched, high-frequency sound file.
Teen Buzz.
Yeah. And they've turned it into a adult-proof ringtone for their cell phones.
Please.
Because teens can hear it, and it's annoying to them, but adults apparently can't hear it. Well, I found the audio file. Not only can I hear it, it hurts.
Yeah, it does. It really, really does. There's an amount of pain involved
in
that.
It's like, dude, I'm 34, so I don't know what the threshold of adults who can't hear this is. And I know I've listened to my share of music, loud music, so I don't know. But I can imagine that somebody in the teens, it would probably definitely keep teens away. And that was its original purpose. It was supposed to be played around shops during school hours, or God only knows what it was for. But they ripped the sound file and use it now as an audio file for their ringtone. So now in class, the teachers apparently can't hear it when it goes off, but they do. But it's not like they're going to pick up the phone and answer the phone during class. I don't understand what the big deal is. But anyways, I posted the, I'll post a link to the audio file. You listen to this. You tell me if you can hear this or not.
Okay.
We've heard it.
Oh,
it
hurts. You're not going to do it for me, are you? Because we've already heard that. Oh. I was nursing a headache for like a half hour after listening to that thing.
No, I won't put it in the podcast because God only knows what you guys do when you're listening to the podcast. And if you're driving or something like I do when I'm listening to podcasts, the last thing you want is this noise going off. Cause an accident. But go check out the link. I got it from the BBC article about it. Those are the two big stories. But as always, if you want to see other things that I thought were interesting, just go to feeds.feedburner.com/Charette Gazette. I'm working on making a another feed off of my blog that you get this podcast from, where I'm actually going to take some of these articles and blurb about them, and they might get featured on the podcast from now on. Speaking of, one of the big debates is going around right now is this issue about net neutrality, which is the idea that internet providers shouldn't be... They want the right to have tiered services so that businesses who want higher speed connections should be able to pay more for them.
which is all well and good. I'm for that. If you've got the money and you've got a business and you want higher bandwidth for your company, go for it. But what some of the proponents of keeping it neutral to avoid that, they're trying to say that it's going to start a favoritism, whereas if you can't afford it, you'll get really crappy access, or
really?
Maybe even get blocked.
What?
None of the companies are saying that, but a lot of the proponents of net neutrality are implying that there might be blacklists, because if one company has a website that's competition for somebody else, they might start blocking it.
That's
because
the whole point, though, is to have competition.
Right. Exactly. And nobody that I know of legally is saying this is going to happen, but I happened to find an article on the website called SaveTheInternet.com, which is pushing the petition for net neutrality legislation, which when I read it sounded like a good idea. And then I read this article that they'd posted about how Cox might have had an issue with Craigslist. I won't go into the details with it because it turns out the article is not true. And they're pushing it as gospel, basically, to get people to go along with their petition. Now, I'm all for keeping regulations on companies, but they've also got to make money. So keep your ears out for what's going on with this, because things are changing, again, as always. And, you know, you're going to lose a freedom somewhere, but it's just interesting to see both sides of this issue. Anyways, I'll post links to that, too. But I had made a discussion point about that on my blog, and I was corrected by a gentleman who'd said that the article that I was quoting from was not true, and I was essentially libeling Cox, because they were libeling Cox, and I was repeating it. And then I read quite a few other articles that basically said, it's not true, it's an issue on Craigslist site, not on Cox's end. So it's not a case of Cox blacklisting anybody. They're not doing any such thing.
Was there anything else?
No, that's it.
That's it for right now. That seemed pretty fast.
Well, that's an hour. We're at our usual mark. So
we're
going to sign off for now with the other song from Ethereal Box called This Is Rome. See you later, everybody.
Night, everyone.
just now, Caesar has risen again. Let's put our armor down. War is no means to an end. Soon we'll be standing alone, 'cause this is wrong. This is wrong.
That wraps up another episode of Is This Thing On? Thanks for listening, everybody. This blog and podcast are copyright 2006 by Dan Schreck under the Creative Commons Attribution with No Derivatives License, some rights reserved. If you want to join us on the podcast, send a message to me on Skype at Is This Thing On Podcast. That's one word, Is This Thing On Podcast. If you have any comments about this podcast, feel free to drop a note at shret.net/podmail. Or if you'd rather leave us some voicemail, you can call us at 206-350-7638. That's 206-350-SNET. Music for this podcast was provided by the Pod Show PodSafe Music Network.